Hello, St. Andrews family. Back here with How the Sausage is Made.
Let's go.
Pastor Matt and
Pastor Ethan.
Right on, man. Well, tell you what, we just did a headfirst dive into the Summer of Psalms.
Yes, we did.
And man, what a way to start it off. Very, very cool introduction to kind of the structure of the Psalms you gave us.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was, then you kind of got into Psalm 1,
mm-hmm.
and your title was the law of God.
Right.
And, you know, you kind of redefined a little bit. When we think of law, we automatically think of a punitive, a punishment, judges, trials, all this stuff. You know what?
Right.
You laid a ground for a different way of looking at the law, and to kind of tell us what that is, you know?
Yeah, I'm glad you're bringing that up, because I honestly wanted to spend more of the sermon
sure.
diving into what the law really is.
Okay.
And I think I got into more of that in the kids' message than anything, actually.
Yeah, the gavel's very, very popular.
But,
the kids, that was hilarious.
But yeah, the law of the Lord, as I said, the word Torah, a lot of times refers to the first five books of the Bible, the writings of Moses.
Yeah, yeah.
But if you just take it as, you know, like a vocab word, it also just means in teaching or instruction. And
mm-hmm.
Whenever I think of God's law and how we're kind of like trained, I think, because we think through lenses of law and gospel in our faith tradition in the Lutheran Church, law and gospel, and it's easy for law to become the bad stuff.
That's it. Yes,
law
exactly.
to become the
exactly yeah
the doom and gloom stuff.
Yes,
which is in some ways is accurate.
Yeah,
in a way.
Well, I mean, yeah.
And the gospel to be the good stuff. But I would like us to really wrap our minds around the fact that God's law, God's instruction for us, God's design for us,
mm-hmm.
How, you know, the universe exists, all these things are really, really good. It's the law of the Lord that, you know, I think keeps the universe in motion, right? Like,
dude,
it's God's law.
Yeah.
It's God's design. It's
yeah,
God's
exactly.
will.
It's God's creative power, right?
Right. So the law is really good.
Okay.
And the gospel is really good. But we need the gospel because we're not really good. And we're not
yes.
as good as the law, you know? Like,
yeah.
we don't measure up to the law. So all that sort of stuff. And then, like I said, I was kind of originally planning to lean more into that.
Okay.
The goodness of the law.
Yeah.
And it ended up being, I kind of preached a sermon that I was trying to reflect my own experience over the last probably 2 weeks reading Psalm 1.
Sure.
And the experience was, I read the Psalm several times thinking, I'm motivated now to spend my time meditating on God's word.
Yeah.
You know, in like a positive way. And I was thinking about preaching that way. Like, now that we understand that God's law is good, like, let's meditate on
yeah,
it, right?
Yeah.
Get to know it better. Get to know God better. But at some point, like, I think I just read something. I think it was from that Chad Bird book
yeah.
where he breaks down the Psalms into, like, a 365-day devotion or something like that.
What's it called? The Untamed Prayers.
Untamed Prayers, yes.
Yeah, good book. Good book.
In that, he only writes on Psalm 1 about how the blessed man is Jesus. And,
interesting.
And, like, he doesn't even, like, he doesn't give you a chance to read yourself into the text
oh,
at all.
Oh, that's
you know?
A great Chad Bird book.
Yeah, right. Yeah, and so that kind of flipped it for me. And so the sermon, I was trying to almost, like, reflect my own experience in the sermon, where
yeah.
we start off kind of with this, we're convicted and we're motivated, but that doesn't quite feel like enough. And then we were finally, like, kind of brought to this point where we realize, well, I'm not the blessed man anyways. Jesus is the one
yeah.
who has done all these things perfectly, who has resisted evil, who loves the Lord, the law of the Lord, who fulfills it, who's, you know, the tree, all that stuff. So, yeah.
I appreciate that. Mm-hmm. I also appreciate the discussion of convicted or motivated, and right. It's interesting that neither conviction nor motivation can save us, right? So you read right. that, and you're either convicted. So if you're convicted, that's not going to save you. To repent of your sins and call it to Christ, that saves you, right? Christ right. saves you.
Right.
And to be motivated by the law, you can be fired up and pumped up to do the right thing. And it's just like, man, that's why the gym is full every January.
Right, right.
People are motivated, right? And then yep. And then you can get any machine you want about February 1st, right. You know, you can, right. there's plenty of room in the gym.
The motivation and, wears
the
away.
The motivation wears off. It comes mm-hmm. from inside. So the motivation, mm-hmm. the true motivation comes from knowing that Christ is the blessed man.
Right.
And that he died for us and rose for us. And the gospel is really the only that really truly motivates. I appreciate the discussion of it. I looked at I actually stole your slide where you kind of lay out the five books.
Nice.
Of the Psalms. That's actually, I think, the second slide I use mm-hmm. This week in the sermon. And I don't know. As I think about the Psalms, as I think about the fact that it's poetry and it's Hebrew poetry, like if someone asks you what's the importance of poetry in this situation, like what would you like people to know about the Psalms, like, you know, as far as in general, as a genre, as, you know, why does it matter yeah. that it's poetry and it's not just, like, history lesson?
Yeah, that's a good point. And I think why that matters, mm-hmm. why we don't read it purely through, like, it's not a narrative lens,
yeah.
or
yeah.
I think reading it through a historical lens is appropriate.
Absolutely.
But the poetic nature allows it to be, I think, what it's meant to be, which is like expressions of experiences of God's people,
mm-hmm.
For better or worse, going yeah. through, you know, trying times, like where there's external things that are really bad. They're going up against armies, they're going
yeah,
up against
yeah.
enemies, or it's internal things, they're dealing with their own sin, they're dealing with their own struggles, or they're rejoicing and they're celebrating. And I think the poetic nature of it allows us to take it and use it as, here's the words that I can now put on my own lips.
Yeah.
It's like, I remember, I think in one of the classes at the seminary talking about the Psalms, one of the professors said something along the lines of, whenever we pray the Psalms, we're using God's own word
yeah.
to pray.
Yeah.
Right? So
yeah.
like we're like repeating back to God his own word.
Right.
And I don't know, just a cool.
Well, that's what better
thought.
Thing could you do than use
right.
God's own word? You know,
right.
that's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
I love. I think there's a way to apply it. It's funny to me, and we do this in our staff meetings. You know, we'll sit around mm-hmm. the table with our church staff, and it's you, and it's me, and it's Nicole, and it's Jordan, and it's Krista.
Right.
And we sit there, and we'll read a psalm, and then we sit for a second with it, and mm-hmm. then we start asking what struck you or what
right.
hit you today. And it's always interesting to me that rarely does anybody pick the same thing as somebody else.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
and it's just such a cool thing that word and that poetic word allows you to kind of, you're not making up the definitions. It's clearly laying out what God is doing, but it certainly hits you. And the same thing from Psalm 1 that hits you Tuesday might not be the same thing that strikes you on Thursday.
Right.
You know, and it's
yeah.
just, it's a very cool thing. I'm hoping over the summer we get a chance to dive into, just talk a little bit about the poetry in that. I'm going to try to make a point of doing that this time. This time, though, with coming up, I'm going to Psalm
right.
19, and I'm using your slide because I'm trying to make a point of there's five books, and anytime you see five, like five discourses in Matthew or whatever, you want to try to compare those things to the Torah, to the Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy.
Gotcha.
And so the first book we're going to compare to Genesis, and right away it's like the heavens declare. You know, it's just
yeah.
kind of a cool
yeah.
thing. So I was laughing because you were talking about God who creates the universe and creates the laws of the universe. Like, I'm just trying the first half.
That's right where you're at.
So that's cool. So, that means that we're thinking the same thing. So.
Give us a little insight into, before we get into like specifically kind of where you're going.
Yeah.
Can you give us a little taste of some of the major topics or themes in Psalm 19 that maybe you had to choose from? And then where are you going from there?
So I think I'm going to hit the two major overarching themes. Now there's tons of things you could do with this. The two major arching things is that the heavens declare and proclaim the glory and the handiwork of God.
Gotcha.
So it's like the heavens, the writers basically says they speak to us.
So like God, like nature.
Nature itself,
or you're talking about specifically the heavens above.
So I think you could read it as nature, but I'm really going to the cosmic
level
of things.
Okay, I like that.
And so that's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think when we have the cosmic significance of God and He shows us the size and scale of how He thinks, then David masterfully starts talking about what His law means to him and how he delights in it. But he also talks about the fact that he needs rescue, right?
Yeah.
So you got to be a rock and redeemer. Please forgive my sins, you know?
Right.
But it's interesting to me that David's recognizing two truths, and this is what I'm trying to bring in the sermon on Sunday. One is the cosmic nature of the mind and the glory and the power and the strength and the unsearchableness of God, and then that God loves you.
Yeah.
You know, and that's kind of a mind blowing thing, and I'm hoping my mind's been blown by that. I'm hoping that comes across in the sermon. But there's just, you know, we get into a little bit of like things that physicists have discovered and quantum physicists have discovered in the last, you know, 20, 30, 40 years, and how just there's things about our universe that are so inexplicable. And I just have to laugh and think, I guess that's God just kind of saying, good luck, you know, trying to figure me out, you know.
Right.
And don't worry about trying to figure me out. I figured you out because I made you. And what you need to figure out is that I love you.
Right.
And I'm going to help you do that. Yeah.
There's, I don't know, something about maybe, I don't know, just like being in the faith for so long. Or something where like you take for granted.
Oh,
like
yes, the fact
that like God's love feels like expected or something.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
Like why wouldn't God love me or something?
Yeah.
Where whenever you think about how like just mind-blowingly vast and huge God is. Like the fact that He does love us and like really desire to know us and be known by us,
yeah,
kind of becomes like a gut check of where, man, like how much do I just take that for granted to say that God loves me?
I would say it's impossible not to take for granted.
Right,
it's like, there's moments when you appreciate it more than others,
right?
But it is impossible not to. I don't talk about this in the sermon. I was struck when I was in college. I got to take an amazing Holocaust class from Professor Christopher Browning. He's like one of the first like non-Jewish, widely recognized Holocaust scholars, and he's teaching kind of a primer on the Holocaust. And it was interesting to me, like he's taught this so many times, and I never forget. He was teaching, and he's kind of going over numbers of people that died in, you know, concentration camps, and it's terrible stuff. But he's taught it so much. And then in the middle of a sentence, he just broke down weeping.
Oh,
it just hit him again.
Right.
And my guess is when you're studying something like that, it hits you at random times, and it hits you over and over again. And there's times when you're kind of like callous to it because you're just teaching it, but then it just grabs a hold of you. And I think our faith is like that. There's times when, yeah, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. And yeah, that's great, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And there's times when it's just overwhelming how amazing that is, you know.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I'm hoping that... David's words to the Psalms, I have a feeling that's what David was experiencing when he wrote Psalm 19. He was experiencing this cosmic nature of God and here he is, like, caring about my may my meditations be acceptable to you. You know, right. Like, I don't know. It's just, it's cool. So I think that's kind of the gist of what we're looking at.
I saw a document that you made in Dropbox that was just, like, things about the universe.
Oh, yeah, I saw
that. So I'm excited to see, hopefully, like, yeah, have my mind blown along with you and kind of just hear some of the research type stuff that you've been getting into.
I'm fascinated by science.
And what's been fascinating you. And then for you to take that and then kind of have a moment to step back and say, but this huge, unbelievable God is right here.
Yeah.
And wants you and loves you. Yeah.
And I think like you, I would say similar. Funny. First off, our sermon titles are hilarious. We didn't check with each other, and you said the law of God, and then my sermon is the law of God is perfect. So it's like we're not real creative with that.
That's great.
But I think like you were trying to relay what you experienced, and I'm doing the same. I'm just really just trying to relay my experience with Psalm 19 this last week and a half or so. You know.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. Both of these sermons seem to come directly out of, like, how we have been, like, our process, like, kind of meditating through the psalm, so.
Absolutely.
So, awesome. Well, how would I pray for
you? Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Lord God, thank you so much for giving us your word. We acknowledge that you are so vast and so beyond our comprehension, and yet you are so good and you are so personal and you are so intimately close to us. And Lord, I ask your blessing and your hand over Matt while he continues to meditate on and just pray through and wrestle through what you have prepared for us this week. Lord, give him insight, give him clarity, and work through him, that you would put your words on his lips. Bless us this weekend. Bless us the rest of the summer as we meditate through your beautiful word through the Psalms. Thank you so much for everything you have done, you are doing, and you will do for us. It's in Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. 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 Thanks, brother. All right. See you, St. Andrews.
Bye, guys.